What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Welcome back, All the Smoke, Day 2, Las Vegas, in-season tournament. Yesterday we had a good day. Today we started off with a good one. Mm-hmm. We was just talking before camera, like, I was thinking, like, where the fuck this dude go? Like, he was hooping
somewhere
for a handful
jumping.
Of years. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, you got to Google, like, where's LaMarcus Aldridge at?
He's
like,
somewhere picking, popping the nigga to death.
But, I mean, you know, very your resume, man. 7-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, over 20,000 career points, number 3 scorer in Blazer history, number 1 rebounder. And then, again, you kind of could just step away. But I also learned you're doing some ambassador work with the NBA, taking trips around the world and getting to speak and host camps, but also enjoy the process. So what's life after basketball been like for you?
Y'all know, like, your first year, it's like you confused. I'm like, what's next? I want to still hoop. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wake up like, I'm lost a little bit. So I think for me, it was more like, shit, let's figure this shit out. Let's kind of like move around. NBA hit me up and I was just like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, my personality is more like, I'm more chill. They were like, well, just do one trip. You'll be good to go. So I did Spain and, man, that shit was dope, man. Went over there and shit on the beach and, you know, like, the vibe is crazy. So did that one trip and then now, man, I just be doing that. So it's like traveling the world, going to like different places and just talking to people, hosting camps and stuff.
Explain your the end of your career. So you stopped playing.
Confusing as fuck, huh?
Yeah, yeah, for real. You stopped playing, came back, played, stopped, then retired. Explain the process, and obviously we're supposed to get to it later, but I just kind of want to open up with it because we had a friend here who's here but not here that had a similar heart condition that you had.
Yeah.
And I was literally with him when he died on the court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was able to come back to life. So obviously we know how serious that is, but break down kind of the end of your career.
Yeah. So did Bonzi as well. Yeah.
Shit. So obviously I was diagnosed with it in 2006 when I was drafted, passed out in the game. So then they took me to the hospital. I found out I had it. Had like two or three procedures done, so I went a minute with no issues. Signed with the Spurs. This one was kind of quiet. It came out, but it was more like, more quiet. It came back again, so then they said I was out indefinitely for like
a week.
So
when you came back, like you passed out or you just were feeling different?
Yeah, like you pass out. It's kind of weird, and it's kind of like catch 22 because it's like as you get in better shape, symptoms get worse, which don't make sense, right? Because you're supposed to work out to get better, but it's kind of like, so my shit can slow down too much, like when I'm out of rhythm and I can pass out. So, as you get in better shape, your shit goes slower and slower, you know what I'm saying? So I was passing out. So I was in camp, had a little issue, so then we got that fixed. So then fast forward to the end, I got the vaccine, played the one game in Chicago, felt terrible. Like my heart rate was like racing, it was going too slow, like it was just off. So then I went home that night and then we had a back-to-back with the Lakers. So then I played again and like, the whole thing with my heart is like, if I'm out of rhythm, I'm about to pass out. If you run, your shit's supposed to straighten up, so then you're good to go. It was the first time I was running and my stuff wouldn't straighten up. It was still going slow. It was like weird
so
to be.
You can feel it as you're running.
Yeah, like you're supposed to be like 100 and some, beats and you're at like 60. And like, how is that even possible? So like, I just didn't feel right. So I go home that night, laying down, and like my shit was getting so slow, I just kept passing out. Over and over, and I'm like, I'm more chill, and I grew up poor, so it's like, you kind of like gotta figure some shit out on your own, so I was like, just get through the night, and I'll be good. So the whole night, I'm laying there thinking I'm about to die. So then I called the trainer at like 6 a.m., like, I can't take it no more, go to the hospital, like, they check me out, and then I kind of get out of the rhythm, and like, they, keep me in the hospital or whatever. So then, like, for me, I was shook, because I had just signed with Brooklyn. I didn't trust their, not trust, I didn't know their training staff, mm-hmm. I didn't know their doctors, so. I was like, I gotta go home and like figure this shit out. So I go home to my doctor. And he was like, I wouldn't risk it. Like,
Was that the first time a doctor's told you?
Yeah, every other doctor was like, you're good, you're good, you're good. Shit. And he was like, I studied you when you were here for 5 years and I've never seen you do this shit. So he was like, you got kids, man. Like, I wouldn't risk it. So the team is telling me you're gonna be good, which we all know how that shit go. Not talking down on anybody.
Yeah, that's just how it is.
Yeah. So then I go to him, and we have more of like a,
right, a real
like,
bond.
Exactly. So he's like, I wouldn't risk it, bro. Like, I've never seen this happen to you before. You've been here 5 years. So the team's calling me, and I'm just like listening to him. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to be that dude that has a patch. And then you don't think about him no more. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know what? I'm done. So I called him. And I'm like crying, emotional. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. So then I retire and like it goes crazy or whatever. I kind of like duck off and hide like normal. Uh-huh. And then so then my doctor hit me up like, hey, if you really want to try this again, let's spend the whole summer putting you through every test I can put you through, running,
I don't want to lose. So this is the beginning of the season you retire? And you go through the whole season, then that following summer, the doctor hits you again?
I retired towards the end, if you remember, because that's when KD needed the shot from a teammate.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, if I was there, man, that's my chance to win the ring, because he's needed, because, nobody could make a shot that game, and that's what I do. So that's when I retired towards the end, when they were playing against Giannis, and his foot was on the line.
It's on the line, yeah.
Exactly. So I was sick, because I'm like, this is my opportunity. And they don't come often, as y'all know.
Yeah.
So I go home to that. And then that following summer.
Okay. So were you still kind of around the team, or you were at home at this time?
No, I went home.
Okay.
Like, as soon as it happened, like, it's kind of funny. I packed all my shit up, and, like, I got on the jet, and I was like, I'm out of here. Yeah. So I didn't have to go back and get nothing, because I was just like, I don't want to die. You know what I'm saying? So. Went home and, handled that shit. Mom's all shook and figured everybody's blowing me up. So anyway, he hit me up that summer and was like, if you really want to play again, like, let's do it the right way. Let's spend the next 2 to 3 months putting you through every test. And then let's go back in, through your groin and, like, let's look at your heart and then make sure everything looks right. So I said, all right, I'll do it. So I did every test possible and I passed all of them. And he was like, even if this happened again, I'm confident that you won't die. Obviously, you can't say 100%, but I think from what everything I've looked at, like, you'll be good to go. So I went through the whole summer, got approved. Had to go through the NBA. It was a long-ass process, bro, because, you know, at the NBA, they don't want you dying either, obviously, but they don't want that liability. So then they put me through a whole nother ringer of, like, shit, 10, 12 tests, passed all that shit. So then it was like, okay, now where do you want to go? Like, I'm back cleared to play. And then I had the option of Boston or Brooklyn. And I'm like, well, shit, I was with Brooklyn. That shit was love. Like, easy shots with Kevin, you know what I'm saying? Like, James, you know, hit me with the lot. So it was like, I'm going to go back there. And then it was just a whole different season.
That's the trade, right?
Everything just blew the fuck up.
You go back there, finish out. How many games you play that season?
Yeah, I don't even remember, bro. That was a frustrating season. Shit, maybe like 25, 30.
Okay.
Because then Claxton, who starts now, started to play really good. Mm-hmm. So then they kind of put me to the back burner a little bit because I couldn't switch. Could switch. I don't want to get into this shit. Mm-hmm. I could switch. You just got to have some, you know, like somebody behind your ass. But anyway. Right. But anyway, so then I didn't really play towards the end, and then that was it.
Damn. So how many years when it's all said and done?
16.
You made the right choice, bro. Yeah. That's a lot. I mean, like I said, like, your whole life, this is what you want to do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And to get this early on and be able to fight through it and still do what you do, accomplish what you accomplished, and then at the end having someone tell you, like, I don't know, but you still have that fire burning and wanting to play, and then he kind of gets your hopes down, like, okay, maybe you're right, and then he starts your fire again, like, let's go through all this testing, and then you go back, and then the Brooklyn Nets explode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that team... That's arguably one of the most disappointing teams that ever came together.
Yeah.
When you think about the top three guys and then also having someone like you, know what I mean, on top of that.
Yeah.
I mean, on paper, that team was incredible, but the fact that nothing ever kind of came from it, and to hear your point of view now and what that championship, you know, how that could have happened.
It could have been a lot for me.
Giannis don't step under Kyrie's feet. It's a whole different ball game.
I don't remember the play, but speaking of that, but you were on the Spurs team with Golden State when Zaza got Kawhi, right?
That was my first chance to really get a ring. Yeah, and we were rolling that game. Fucking was rolling, like up like 26, first half rolling. He go down, and that shit turned quick, too. It's hard, bro. As y'all know, man,
you never get back to that point.
But I mean, obviously, that's just the basketball side. You're dealing with the life side on top of trying to get what everyone's trying to get on the basketball side, too.
Yeah.
You came in the mid-2000s up until 2020, and you've seen a lot of the game. What you think the state of the game is right now?
I'm confused, man, because I feel like the money is going up and up because the fans want to see up and down, up and down. But I came in when it was a physical-ass game. You had to earn everything. Z-Bo and Rasheed Wild, you know what I'm saying? Tim was – yeah, you got all these guys, you had to go get it, and it's like now you can't really touch anybody. So – I'm not mad that it's getting where it's getting, but I'm just confused on if I like, you know what I'm saying, like the style of play at times. Like, everybody shooting threes and just running up and down. I like when you had to – like, I love Denver because, like, he's touching the fucking ball every time. And I feel like that's what we got. I think if he can win two or three more championships, then it's going to –
it's a copycat league. It'll shift back that way. There you go.
That's what we need. Mm-hmm. Steph messed it up. Yeah. Steph changed the shit.
Yeah.
We need somebody else dominant down low to, like, bring it back.
Guards don't even post up no more.
Man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, and I came in that era. I watched y'all and everybody in that era. So it's like, that's how I'm trained to think. Right. It's like, one motherfucker's down low. Now you got everybody on the perimeter. So it's just different for me to process. Mm.
You walk in this game right now, young LA. What you averaging?
Shoot.
In this game, you can't be touched.
I think high 20. Close to 30. Like, not even being arrogant because I play, like, you can't touch me. I'm going to face up every time.
You average mid 20s and we was bumping and grinding.
Exactly. So, course, so if you can't touch me, right. I'm shooting all day. So close to 30 for sure.
Mm-hmm. I would say more because you got guys, you know, guys getting triple doubles in the first half. Like, it's crazy.
It is.
It's different. More 50-point games right now this early in the season than any time in the NBA.
And people averaging above 30.
Bro.
And people averaging above 30.
Easy. Right.
Multiple people.
You used to give 50 to everybody. Like, he got 50? Damn, he was balling. Now you see 50s all the time.
It's another day now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no knock on the player's skills.
It's just a different, the skill level's better.
It's a different type of defense and attention and points of emphasis for the league. You know, the league wants to see scoring. Like, if you think about it, to me it makes sense because, you know, obviously I coach my kids and they're coming up in this new generation. But if you're thinking about it from a fan's perspective, I don't really want to see, if I'm just a fan, an 89-92 game, because now a lot of people just watch highlights. You know what I mean? So to see the score 89-92, you're like, what happened? But then you see these 130s to 127 with hella threes and dunks, mm-hmm. and that's what continues to grow the game. But when you come from our era, it's just like, we hung our hats on defense.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yep. And you were someone that did on both sides of the ball, so it's just like, it's a little bit of, but like you said, you understand where it's going. It's just not the same shit we grew up in.
It just don't feel the same. I want to ask y'all, do y'all feel like next 10 years the league's going to transition to more like European players than American players?
Well, they're already doing that. Because
the game doesn't change so much where it's more tailored to them now than us.
It's a European game.
It's tailored to them, but the motherfuckers just better than our players, bro. Yeah. It's just they
more
just better.
Smarter, reading
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, they coming over here and dominate as soon as they get it. They just better.
Luka make it look too easy, bro. I went to the game in Dallas where he was hitting the jump hook three for like, bro, it's just too easy.
They just better, bro. For some reason, they just better.
Yeah.
Who's the best player in the world of you right now?
I got to say Jokic because, I mean, he just won. And, he didn't win MVP, but we all know.
How they go.
Yeah, but, bro, like, everybody watch social media. The man didn't shoot a basketball all summer, bro. And he came back and he like dominating. Like, come on, like, we in the gym all summer just like getting our shit ready. This dude didn't touch a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Do it show that he's that good or is the NBA that different? I don't know, but bro, we watched him, like, he raced horses this summer. Bro.
And was dancing on
tables. And was traveling and partying. Yeah. He came back and they won like the first, 10 games or some shit?
I don't think it's probably three guys in the league that actually make him work. Like, he have to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Embiid, somebody like that, Rudy Gobert, somebody that actually can give him problems. But most of his nights are easy nights,
bro. Triple-double by
easy nights.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he doing it in 10 different ways.
Yeah.
Threes, pump fakes, post-ups.
Runners,
elbow jumpers.
Same leg floaters. Like, bro, watching his game is kind of crazy to see that the big man position has evolved that much, which I like.
I wonder if we'll ever see, and this is no knock on his game because he's at the top right now, but a dedicated summer to like body and game.
He did it that one summer. Remember when he came back skinny? Didn't play good at all.
Wasn't right. So he needs to
gain the weight back.
Yeah. They showed all the highlights of Luka running up. Luka looked the same. Yeah. Body built the same, bro.
So pretty much Jokic is like a PG version of John Daly.
Yeah.
Motherfucking go be you, bro, and go be great.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
He like Z-Bo. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Z-Bo didn't need to go run all summer, but he gonna bust your ass.
All touch.
Yeah, exactly.
You made a killing from the mid-range for your career, as I said earlier. Started shooting three. Late, close to 40%. Do you regret not shooting threes early in your career?
I do.
Because that mid-range was money.
But as I said, though, the game wasn't like that. Yeah. So for me, like, the coaches were telling me to do it, but, like, I'm a big history guy. Like, bigs didn't do that. Like, KG, I watched him. He didn't shoot threes, only if he had to. Tim wasn't shooting threes.
Small post.
Only one that did was Shee, but Shee was really high level with the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Both hands.
Yeah. So it's like most of the guys I tried to watch and, like, pattern my game after, like, they didn't do that. So it was a hard transition for me. And then, like you said, like, my mid-range was so easy. So I'm like, take this three or take one step in and, like, make that shit, like, 8 out of 10 times.
Yeah, the 80%. Yeah, the 80%. Yeah,
so I'm going to take that shit all day. So for me, it was just hard to, like, retrain myself to do that. Mm. But I do wish I would have done it, though.
You just said that. I'm gonna stick up to that question. Who you patterned your game after?
I give Rick Barnes a lot of credit because, like, he brought me in, like, the room one day. And he was like, Who do you want to be? And I was like, shit, I don't know. Like, I like a lot of, you know what I'm saying, hoopers or whatever. He was like, well, let's sit here and let's pick three players and then let's try to see what you want from each player. And I had never asked nobody to, like, you know what I'm saying, like, think like this. Like, so I was all right. So I was like, I want KG's fadeaway. He's like, okay. And I was like, I want Tim's, like, face up, get to the middle. He's like, okay. He's like one more person. I was like, well, shit, I feel like she's high release is unblockable. He's like, so, okay, so you want those three things? I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, let's go to the gym and get it. So then look at my game. I went middle like Tim, yeah. faded away like KG, yeah, and I had a high release like that. That shit's like, it seemed too simple. But yeah. like, he sat down with me and we did that shit, and that shit worked. That's
crazy.
That
makes a lot of sense now you say it like that.
So he asked me that question, but then he also backed that shit up. So I give Rick credit. Like, we did that shit, and then he'd be like, anytime you want to get in the gym, call me. So it'd be like 12:30. You know, you're in college. You know, you ain't going to sleep. Rick, let's go to the gym. 12:30, he at my dorm picking me up, and we in the gym too. I ain't never had nobody do that. You know what I'm saying? So I give him a lot of my credit because he sat me down and like had a plan.
This is your freshman year?
Yeah. I ain't never had nobody do that. And then when he gave me that, so like I try to tell kids now, I'm like, man, I got 20,000 points and I had three moves. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, it's simple.
Kobe said he had two moves.
It's simple.
You know what I mean? If you think about it, break down the science, that's
give me just real shit. Man, look at my arm, man. Yeah, Kobe, man. I was in Australia, they were like, what would you tell Victor? I was like, he's so skilled, I would just break his shit down and be like, get a move that if it's fourth quarter, you're going to go to it. Get a move if it's first quarter. Like, my shit was always my fade. Beginning of the game, end of the game. And I was like, it helps you stop thinking so fucking much. Like, end of the game, like, you too skilled. You trying to think, do I want to do this or do that and do this? Like, get one move where it's like, I don't care who's guarding you. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, then build off that shit. But I feel like he's so skilled. He's like, got 18 different moves in his head, and he's playing too fast right now. So I'm just like, slow yourself down and get two moves to go to.
I love hearing this shit, because I wasn't that kind of score. So to hear the science of it and how you break it down, that shit is dope. When you simplify it, because at the end of the day, it's very simplified if you work on what you're supposed to work on.
Exactly. Like, Kobe was like, I would always talk to him during the game. I mean, I'm always getting him on. But, bro, I would talk to him during the game, and he would always say, like, I stole his fadeaway. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, this is just what I watch y'all old heads do. You know what I'm saying? But man, it's get a move where it's, if it's first quarter, fourth quarter, last 5 seconds, first 5 seconds. Like, you can get that bitch off anytime. Mm-hmm. And they get accounted to that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. So I was going middle 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. Middle cut off, I'm fading away. Like, that's simple.
And then I'm shooting it way up here at 6'11".
And it's so high where you can't get to it. Like, it's a simple game, bro.
Well, I mean, we was able to do Kobe last interview since you're talking about him. What he mean to you?
Man, you hit a heavy hitter, bro.
We go through this every time we talk about him.
Yeah, he done it too, bro.
His touch, man, his impact was crazy, bro. I lived in Newport for 5 years, so I had my kids by myself, man, and he would, like, play with my kids and, like, just take good care of me, man. And bro, he was just different, crazy different, far as like, he made you better. Like, you playing the Clippers, no offense to anybody, you going out, bro, having a good time. But if you got Kobe, bro, I'm chilling. Like, that motherfucker gonna have me on my A game tomorrow. So he made you better without even knowing he making you better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm playing the Lakers, I got Kobe, like, I'm locked in. But if it's the Clippers, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you going somewhere else, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you out in the streets. But and he always, like, talked to me like I was in Newport, bro. And he always took care of me and would just be like, I see you always working. Like, he always acknowledged me when the league didn't. And then this is the coldest shit I've ever experienced. And I don't know if he has something to do with it. My first chance to make the All-Star game, I didn't. Because Kevin Love had that crazy year where they lost every game. But he had a 30-30 game.
Yeah,
20-30 game. So his stats were stupid. But I should have made the game because like my team was like number 7 in the West and like I was balling that year. I didn't make it. I saw Kobe and he's like, don't worry about it. Just keep doing you. So then the next year, I ball again and they announce it right before we go play the Lakers. I ain't never seen this and y'all can tell me if y'all have. So we play the Lakers and then like I just got announced and like we, you know, in the locker room or whatever, whatever. Pre-game, they get to my name and they say, NBA, for first time All-Star, LaMarcus Aldridge on the road, bro.
Oh, they announced it. Nah. They announced
on the road.
They announced your name.
Yeah, I ain't never seen that.
And you had just found out before that. That's dope.
So it had to be him, bro.
Yeah,
he had something to do with
that. Yeah, it was at Staples.
It had to be him, bro.
I ain't never heard that before, for sure.
Hey, bro, it had to be him, bro.
Did you guys get a chance to train together in Newport, or you just kind of see each other in passing?
So it was crazy. We never trained together because he was always so busy, bro. Like, he'd be moving, like that little red Range Rover, be moving, bro. But nah, so what was cold was, so like, I had my boys, and I would train them every morning. So it was like that little wreck in Newport. It's like one wreck that's like by...
off the freeway?
Yeah.
We went out there and trained my kids. He trained my twins in that little rec center.
Yeah, so I was in the same one.
Yeah.
So I wanted to train my boys every morning. So I wanted to do like 6 or 7. They'd be like, nah, Kobe got it. Nah. So I would get that shit right after him. Because I want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to get there early and like watch him or whatever. So I always saw him in past and when you know, he was training Gigi or whatever. So... Mm-hmm. bro, I saw him all the time, like chop it up. And bro, he was just, he was
cool,
just
right?
Big time.
People
bro.
Don't know how cool and down to earth he is. If he fuck with you, he really
bro,
fuck with you.
And it was crazy because it's like, as hoopers, you know how to understand him on the court and off the court. Of course, he's competitive, so he gonna come off as a dick on the court. But that's just Kobe being Kobe. Mm-hmm. But off the court, bro, he was one of the best cool people you shit. Could ever meet, bro.
But
crazy.
He wouldn't let a lot of people see that side,
that's
though.
True. My first time in Newport, I just bought my crib. I'm at dinner, and I saw Kobe, and we were cool. But you know, like I'm more chill. Like I ain't gonna go over to his table and be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, I see him, but I'm gonna, you know, like I'm gonna say shit. So he come to my table, like, what's up, Rook? Mm-hmm. And I was in the league like 5-6 years by that point. So like, you know, like. Just talk to me for a minute or whatever, whatever. So then at the end of the night, you know, I'm about to pay. It's already paid.
It's done
him.
Deal.
And he looked over, he's like, nah, you good, Rook. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Like just shit like
just
that.
Dope
like
shit.
Out and about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. just good dude, man.
Rest
man,
in peace, did, man.
Yeah.
Rest in
sure,
peace to
sure.
the homie.
Got me crying on the show, nigga. God damn, bro.
So, it happened to everybody, bro. Dog. It happens, right it happens to us, too.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Being a Texas boy growing up, I watched Tom Pendles and B.J. Tyler and Terrence Richard and Reggie Freeman and all them play. We all want to go to Texas and end up playing in Texas. Talk about you growing up and ending up at UT.
Bro, I'm growing up, bro. I wanted to go to Carolina because of MJ. I'm a big, but, you know, best player in the world. You don't care what position he is. You want to, you know, at the park. I'm MJ, not Tim. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to go to Carolina, bro. So I was growing up and, like, a dope story is, like, I grew up and I was, like, in the streets and I was headed the wrong direction. So then my mom was going to send me to the school with my cousin, which was in Pleasant Grove in the hood, where I probably was going to go the wrong direction. But then I ended up going to Siegelville High School, which is like a little country-ass town. So then the high school coach came to my house in the summer, and like, I'm from the hood, so like, you ain't coming in the house the first time you meet us. So it's 107 degrees, and he on my porch talking to my mom. He's sweating. She ain't letting him in, though. So he, 2 hours, like, bring your son to my school. Like, I'm going to get him right. I'm gonna like, you know what I'm saying? Like, get him out the streets, whatever, whatever. So then I'm like, please don't. You know, like, I'm begging like she don't believe this, man. I'm like, I don't want to go there. Like, it's a whack school. Ain't nobody there. You know what I'm saying? Corny ass. So I'm like, I don't want to go there. So long story short, she said, are you going there? So then I'm like, fuck. So I go to Siegelville High School. First day, he bring me in. He was like, I've heard about the things that you do and how you are and how you move. Like, he ain't say like that, you know, he an owner cat. So he just, but that's, you know, me translating it. He's like, if you give me 1 year of you not doing the things that you do, then I promise you, like, I'll get you into college. And no one had ever even mentioned college to me. Like, I was different. So I was like, all right, I'll buy in. So he's like, what school you want to go to? And I'm like, shit, Carolina. So he's like, give me 1 year where you don't smoke weed every morning before school, where you don't go steal, where you don't do this. And I promise you, like, you're going to be good. So I'm like, all right, fuck it.
Is your freshman year going into high
freshman
school?
Freshman year. Because my eighth grade, I don't remember seventh or eighth grade, I was so high. Like, I smoked every morning. Like, bro, I'm going to school high as a kite.
Burn. Welcome.
So he was like.
Well, his cool demeanor. Is,
I would have never guessed, yeah, but it makes sense, though. Yeah. Go ahead.
So he and me was like, stop all that shit. Give me 1 year where you lock in and you get in the gym, and I promise you, you'll get a letter from Carolina. Half of it, I'm thinking this cap, but half is like, no one's ever believed in me either, so fuck it, why not roll with him? Long story short, I get in the gym, I start smoking, I'm on time for class, blah, blah, blah. End of the year, I balled out too. I had 27-16 versus Bosch, because me and Bosch was in the same district, and his school was cold as a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. So I ball against him. It was Ike Diago. I ball against him.
Icy Ike was nice.
Bro,
physical. Strong. Was all man, he was an
yeah,
ox.
Yeah. I ball against. So, like, long story short, I go against all the heavy hitters and I hold my own. End of the year, they were like, yo, he real. So then I get the first letter of my life was from Carolina. Like, you on our radar.
That was your first letter?
First letter. So in my room, I had a picture of MJ in a frame. I put that bitch right in the frame.
Hell yeah.
And the rest was history. Like, didn't smoke no more after that. In the gym all day, like, taking class seriously. Like, bro, if he never came into my life, and I told this, I got into the Texas Hall of Fame, like, shit, like 4 or 5 years ago. And I told a story about him, and I was like, I was headed down the wrong fucking path. I wanted to go to the hood school where I could still smoke, I could see my cousin. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to go where it was going to be easy. If he didn't come to my house and spend 2 hours in the hot-ass sun in Texas, as you know, it's hot as a motherfucker.
The humidity, boy.
Bro, it's 108, and he's sweating, bro. He had a wig, like a little, little wig, and bro,
it's
like,
melting, probably.
Bro, it was like, fuck it, bro. But he didn't waver, bro. He, right. Like, he stood on it. And I was in, like, a little trailer home in the trailer park. It was a two-bedroom. It was me, my mom, and my brother, and, like, one little ass, bro. And he was at the door for a minute, and he talked us through that shit, and I was like, bro, if I didn't have him do that, like, I don't know where the fuck I would have been.
Did you stop using cannabis from there on out, or did you just more strategically?
Yeah. He's back, baby!
So I was in Oregon. I don't know what I mean. Yeah, I was in Oregon, bro.
So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of my next. I mean, we were guys that smoked throughout, but we wasn't doing it. We wasn't promoting it, but I'm saying, were you someone that did medicated throughout your career as well and just kind of found ways to get around it?
And I don't want to promote it either for the young fellas. Like, I want the young fellas to do what they feel is good for them, and I don't want parents saying I'm pushing. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got kids too, so, you know, I don't
want to. What did it do to, but to me, what did it do for you? Because, like I said, a random story, you know, I was in the finals with Golden State, and he's still playing. We'll talk about that later. Go ahead.
Yeah. Man, first of all, I said I was in Oregon, so the shit was right there. Bro.
You coming off the tail end of the Jailblazers too.
Yeah. So that's where I was gonna go. I won't out anybody, but I had two vets that had me over, and bro, it was, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you.
Bro, yeah. So I did, yeah, for sure. Especially when I was in Portland, like, got my own little connect, and I was good to go.
And found your way around it.
Yeah.
And to me, like I said, like, we not. While I can't speak for everyone, and it seems like you're on the same page because you saw a successful career. It wasn't about getting high and da-da-da. It was what it did for you. It helped you relax. It helped you sleep. It helped pain. It did a lot of different things, and for I think everyone gets the stigma of, oh, you're smoking to get super hot. But sometimes I do just want to get super hot. But it also does during the season. It does a lot of, I'm not a big drinker. I don't be popping no pills. I'm not going to do nothing else. So it's the unwind, too, after the game.
The decompression.
Good word.
I came in when, I don't know if y'all remember this, and a lot of fans won't know what this shit is, but Toradol was like shit. So you took that shit and you go run through a fucking wall. But when that shit wore out, man, you fucking like knees, your shoulder, you know what I'm saying? So like then that, so then when you light one up, you know what I'm saying? Like that should help you get to sleep. Like,
and it
helped
you
eat
because that Toradol fuck your stomach.
It
up
do,
too.
Bro. So
I got a Toradol story. So Clippers, second round versus San Antonio. First round or second round? Maybe be first round. We knocked them on the first round of the year they won the coming off the championship. I run into a Dwight Howard screen before the playoffs and completely fuck my right shoulder up, like so bad that I can't lift it at all. Going right into the playoffs. So they're like, you know, either you can sit out or we can give you some Toradol. I'm like, what's Toradol? And I remember hearing Toradol because one of my homeboys at USC used too much and it fucked his liver up and he had to retire from the Patriots.
Exactly.
So I'm like, shit, I'll give it a try. So when I tell you they shot me in my ass with this Toradol like an hour before, and I was Superman, moving all around, guarding Kawhi just fine, jumping, dunking, shooting, but when I didn't have it. So the funny part is, so I always had a pregame ritual where I'd go pee before the game, like right before they do announcements, before they do the starting lineup, I'd run back out there. This time I'm going out, I'm going in there, I'm about to pee, and I fart in the Toradol. I wet farted myself, bro.
You sharted?
Sharted, bro. 3 minutes on the clock. So I have to take I have to take my tights off, ball them up, throw them away at the bottom of the garbage so no one can find them. Go in my bag, didn't have no more, run to the back. Obviously the fucking equipment man's out there. I have to fucking break in this bag and get some new tights and put all this shit on. Missed the starting lineup call, but was out there for the tip of the game.
No, you didn't go.
I was gonna say, yeah, time to shower.
I couldn't, bro. I couldn't hold back that I couldn't burp.
You felt uncomfortable.
I felt sorry for who was guarding you.
I had to wet some toilet paper, wipe my ass, and then I got a towel and wiped my ass and threw all that in the bottom. And then I had tape on still. Then I was taking all my tape off.
I was about to play a playoff
basketball game. But I saw that Toradol's a motherfucker. I say all that to say that. Oh, man.
Nah, so I was
superhuman.
I'm kind of happy they stopped using it because I would have kept using that shit.
It's unbelievable.
But I was taking it so much that in practices I couldn't even run into people because like I was used to just running into people and I was like I was so sore like my shit was so fucked up in
shoulders.
With the shoulders. Okay. Yeah, I had surgery on this one too. Okay. But I was so like fucked up when I didn't take it that I couldn't even practice right.
Damn.
I couldn't even run into people. It would just hurt. Mm. So I was like, bro, this shit is too good.
So you almost got
when
dependent
you take
on it, right?
Exactly. So then the next season, I think the NBA banned it, and then they went to Celebrex, and then that's what they do now.
Celebrex don't do shit.
Nah.
That shit does
you went from the worst, like the best shit to the worst shit. Like,
shit don't do nothing.
You like ate them bitches, and you still don't feel that.
Fucking your insides up, though. Number two pick, 6 to Chicago, immediately traded to Portland. Bagnani went 1, Adam Morrison 3, Tyrese Thomas 4, Sheldon Williams 5.
Damn, I'm looking at that. I know you like, boy.
Brandon Roy 6.
God damn.
So you end up landing with B-Roy your rookie year. B-Roy gets off to a good start. There's not really too many people in front of him. You get there and there's Z-Bo, you know. Everyone knows what kind of motherfucker he was. So what was the beginning of your Blazer journey, your NBA journey like?
Each step was like, nobody really believed, but like it took one person to believe in me. Cause like I remember when I got drafted, Stephen A was like, he could have went 20. He ain't gonna beat, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, bro, like let me live a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So like, I just got like, bro, I went from broke to pay. Like, let me at least have a night to like
let me get a jumper up.
God damn, bro. So and then I remember hearing like, bro, like, I'm big on like motivation shit, which I look back at my career, I'm like, it's good and bad to take negative and make it into like a, you know what I'm saying? Like motivation, because like you spend your life looking at negative shit too much. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I get there and I remember hearing that one of the GMs is like, well, he's a project. Like, we think he can be this, but we're not sure. I'm like, damn, a project at number 2? That's kind of fucked up. Like, you got to believe in me at number 2. So I was like, all right, bet. So I get there and I'm like, day one, they were like, B-Roy's our guy. He's going to play. We're going to give him touches. Like, summer league's all about him, all about him. So I was like, fuck, I ain't really got a chance to really try to shine because like they want him. And granted, that motherfucker was cold. Like, mm-hmm. I ain't taking shit from him. He was cold. So then I really didn't have an opportunity to really like try to shine or whatever. But I do give credit to Z-Bo. That nigga whooped my ass in practice so much that I learned how to get more physical. I learned how to use my body. I learned so much from him in practice because his thing was like, this motherfucker's trying to take my spot.
Straight up.
So it's like every practice, I'm on your ass, boy. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
and this is back when the stars were practicing. It practicing was real 2 hour practice.
Yeah, it wasn't no
getting it in.
Yeah, like you come in that bitch, you about to get it mm-hmm. in. So it was like practices was like battles with him, and I feel like I grew so much from playing against him in practice because he was like on my ass, and I started mm-hmm. to get better and better. So it wasn't really much opportunity at first, and I remember I played one game with Z-Bo, and I killed. Like my first game was against Dallas, which was kind of cool for me because I'm from Dallas and I played good and shit. And then I remember we had Ray for the Friends. He had just signed a 60. So then Nate pulled me in the office and he was like, hey man, I know you played good or whatever, but we got Ray for the Friends making 60 million. So we got to play him over you. I'm like, what's the goal here, to win or just to play motherfuckers because they got money?
Or was I not just pick number two?
Yeah. So then I was back even more. So we got Rafe playing, and he on the bench saying, like, I'm over this shit. So Rafe really don't want to play. I want to play. So then I'm like, fuck it. So long story short, we get to the end of the season. I had been playing off and on, and Z-Bro, he had broke his wrist, thumb or his wrist, like some shit like the last 30 games. So then they were like, hey, Z-Bro's out, so you're going to start now. And I fucking balled the rest of the season. I think I averaged like 18 and like 8 or whatever for the rest of the season. So then that summer they called me and it was Nate. He was like, do you want to be my starting power forward next year? I was like, hell yeah, I want to start next year. He was like, all right, well, we're going to trade Z-Bo. Mm. Next night, draft night, they had traded Z-Bo.
To the Clippers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's how I got my opportunity to like really start and play mm-hmm. because if he don't get hurt, bro, I might not even get an opportunity mm-hmm. to really show like who I am. Mm-hmm. But he got hurt, then I got the last 25 games, like be me, and then after that it was good.
So what was your... Because you hear different things, and obviously, unless you're there, you don't know. And, you know, sometimes it even may look different to you now that you've been removed for so many years. But what was your and B-Roy's chemistry relationship? Was there one early on? Or
yeah,
it took a while?
It was all good, bro. Like, I never had any ill will towards him. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, same way. It's just...
The competitiveness.
Yeah. And, like, not trying to make excuses. When you got two alphas and you're young, it's hard to learn how to be... Like, I always called it Batman and Robin. Like, mm-hmm. it's hard to be Who's Robin who? When you want to be Batman mm-hmm. and you're both young. You know what I'm saying?
And you have the talent to be Batman.
Yeah, so it was, like, a little tough for me in the beginning. But he was cool with it. You know, like, he just did his thing or whatever. And, like, I was kind of, like, always wanting more opportunity. I never really got it. But, we had no issues. Like, we kicked it. Like, that's when, like, you go kick it in the club together, you know, go out to eat together. It wasn't forced. Like, today I feel like they forced the shit. But back then it was like, let's just get out.
We heard a story, we don't know if it's true, that you guys had a Nike commercial shoot where you guys had like a long kind of like conversation, heart to heart.
Yeah.
Any truth to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us a little bit.
You know it was who.
We're doing our research.
You know whose commercial it was.
It was Greg's, right? Whose commercial was it?
It was LeBron.
Oh, LeBron, okay.
So that shit was already a battle from the beginning. I think it was LeBron. And they wanted us to be in it or whatever. And at that time, B-Roy was shit. At one point, it was like Kobe and him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so he was like, man, I shouldn't do this shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on the same level as these motherfuckers. And like, I respected it. Like, I said, I got to do it. I ain't there yet. You know what I'm saying? For me, I want any type of pub I can get right now. So he was like, he didn't want to do it, but I think Nike talked him into it. So then we go down. And we're in the trailer waiting for whoever it was. And then it was like, the person was late to the shoot. So then we had an extra 2 hours in the trailer. So we both getting hot. So then, you kind of find common ground or whatever. So then we started talking. And then the person didn't do the shoot. So then we had another. So long story short, we in the trailer for like 4 or 5 hours and we ain't did shit. And you know, at that time, you both kind of hot. So anyway, we ended up talking like, hey, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's try to like fix shit or whatever. But it was never no issue. It was like, how can we try to be better for each other? Exactly, like trying to connect type shit. So yeah, we did do that.
Well, I want to backtrack a little bit. When you get your first health scare, it's right around the time the following year, if I'm not mistaken, your mom was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
07?
Around that, yeah.
Okay, what was that like? I was, you know, that's how me and him became brothers. You know, I mean, we had that We Believe season in 07. And November 1st, the beginning of the next season, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. Died November 27th. So 26 days, like I found out and she was gone. And what was your experience like with that on top of your health scares? Now you got to worry about your mom as well.
Yeah, she was, I mean, I say great now, but it was kind of fucked up. But she didn't really tell me how bad it was because mm-hmm. you know how it is when you're in season and when you really practicing back in the day, like you tired, so you go fucking battle, you gonna take a fucking nap for 2 hours after that shit. So like I would talk to her in the mornings, and I would face, you know, back then it wasn't no FaceTime, I don't think. It might have been, I don't know. But anyway, I would talk to her, and then she would say, like, you know, like she was good or whatever. But then she wasn't, like she was really like going through it. Like, so it was tough for me to kind of focus on ball and on myself, mm-hmm. but she was really good about like putting it back on me, like, I'm good, just worry about yourself. But she would be having some like rough ass days, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't tell me, you know what right. I'm saying? So then I didn't find out till after she beat it that it was really worse than what I knew because I wasn't there. You know? Right. I'm in Portland, and that's just 4 hours away.
And she don't want to put that burden on you. She exactly. don't want you worrying like that.
Exactly. So I get cleared, and I'm back playing, but then she's still going through chemo and mm-hmm. having terrible days. You already yep. know the drill. Mm-hmm. So she's going through that, and like I'm just hearing that she's getting better, but they was like, she couldn't eat, she's throwing up, like she fell down. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was tough because I didn't really know what was going on. But, you know, she's a mom and she wants to protect her son. So mm-hmm. she kept shit from me. But it was tough, man. Like, I remember we played in Dallas and I'm starting now. So she was like, I'm there no matter what. And I'm like, nah, you got cancer. You know, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, you fighting, going through chemo mm-hmm. and chemo fucking like takes everything.
Drains you.
And you're real susceptible to getting sick. You don't want to be around.
So that's why
they
said that she shouldn't go. She would not let me, like, bro.
She was there.
I bought her courtside. She was courtside with a mask
that's
on.
That's what's up.
And I'm like, you shouldn't be here. But I bought that. Obviously, yeah. I had to.
That's dope.
I balled out, and she was there. But then, bro, afterwards, what she didn't tell me is, like, bro, she got crazy sick. So she had, like, a major setback because she got sick after that shit. So she shouldn't have went, and she didn't tell me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was, like, she was being strong, you know, like, for me mm-hmm. and for her. But that shit was tough, bro. We had Andre Miller, too, and that motherfucker's a dog, too. I love playing with him.
Dre Miller. Dre
always under control. One of the smartest motherfuckers you would ever play with.
Moving 2 miles per hour, we get anywhere on the court.
I have a story for him next. But so then it's like we got him. So every time we were healthy, I would be on the trade block. Because it was like, well, we really kind of need him, but we don't. And we can go get us, you know, like a 3-and-D guy for him because he's like good. But then Greg gets hurt. Then it's like, oh, we need you, come back. And then I would, you know, get the ball more. They would play through me more. So, bro, it's like, you need me, you don't want me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that shit was a lot to deal with. It's like, if you want me, then even when we got everybody healthy, like, just put me in, like, that Lamar Odom role. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just play through me every now and then. Because, like, that motherfucker was cold. And he wasn't Kobe or none of them motherfuckers, but they needed him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, put me in that role. But they never did. It was always like, when we were healthy, they didn't need me, you know what I'm saying? So that was tough, but nah, Greg was a monster, bro. I never seen nobody dominate like that, like so easily. It was crazy.
Speak to B-Roy's game, though. You know, he was someone else that maybe one of the top five, top 10 what-ifs type player, but he was out the gates.
Top two what-ifs. He wouldn't have got hurt, bro.
Out the gates, he was tough.
Shit was too easy for him. Like, playing with that nigga, it was too easy. Like, I remember the thing that stands out to me was like the fucking Toronto game. Right, motherfucker went up and he changed hands on Bosch and went to the left in the air. And like, bro, it was just, he got in the gym and he worked, but the shit was just, but he couldn't work too much because of his knees. So it was like, he found the balance, bro. But like, he would come in the game, that shit would be too easy for him. Like, Kobe's a motherfucker. And I remember him going there with Kobe and Kobe giving him the respect, kind of like Dame did too, and got, you know, got the same thing. But I remember him and Kobe going at it. And I remember after the game, like, Kobe was like, he ain't got no weakness. And Kobe said that about you. That's real.
I don't think nobody went at Kobe like B-Roy.
Bro, they went at it.
They went at it, bro.
So yeah. to see Kobe, who we all had up here, and see them go neck and neck like that shit was tough.
And B-Roy holding his own.
Holding his own, bro. We going to L.A. and getting wins because this motherfucker's carrying us. And, like, it was fun to watch, too, for mm-hmm. sure, because he was – he was on that shit. Like, he's busting people's ass for sure.
What clicked year two? You went to 18-8, averaging 18-8. What clicked year two?
Opportunity.
That's all it is.
Opportunity. Belief. Because I was like, as I said, I battle with Z-Bo. If I could battle with this motherfucker every day, all y'all other niggas, y'all ain't got a chance.
Y'all fool.
Y'all ain't got a chance.
Yeah.
And like, Z-Bo stepped me a little bit. I don't know if he would ever, he did tell me like later in his career, but now he's telling me like, he was like, bro, you real? Like, to have somebody of that caliber, like say, you know what I'm saying? Like, he called me, he was like, bro, they gonna trade me, but I would love to like play with you because you good, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, to have the battle with him and then have him really like stab me like that was cool. But nah, it was just opportunity, belief, and then just having Z-Bo get me better that whole first year of like battling with him. And I just felt like, in my mind, it was like, these motherfuckers done told me I'm a project. I ain't good. You know what I'm saying? So I got everybody's list in my room of motherfuckers that said, I can't do this. And like, it's time to like prove these motherfuckers wrong. So for me, it was more about either you gonna show them that you are good, or you know what I'm saying, or you gonna prove them right. So for me, it was just about proving everybody wrong. So I was just ready to just have my opportunity to just do that.
You played in an era where it was a dominant four-man era.
Real fours.
Yeah. I'm gonna say some names, and you tell me just first thing come to your mind. KG.
Shit talker, but fade away. Shit talker, fade away.
Dirt.
One leg fade away. All day.
Tim Duncan.
Fundamentals.
Chris Bosh.
Left hand. I'm gonna get into that left.
I'm gonna give you one who I'm high on. I always talk about Antoine Jameson.
Footwork. Motherfucker scooping. Bro, first
impossible to guard.
Bro, first time I had guarding him, I was shook. I was like, he's like he's off balance, but he's not. And he's like leaning this way and the shit scooping under your arms. Like, he was tough, bro. Like, and like nobody had ever talked about him like that.
Still don't. 2010.
Bro.
20-10.
He was fucking cold.
20,000 points scored.
That's crazy.
Amari.
Right hand. And we'll dunk on your ass.
Every time.
We had some good battles. We had some great battles. I think when I was with Brooklyn,
yeah,
we talked about it. We had some great battles. But if you get that right hand in half a step,
it's over.
You in the fucking basket.
Yeah.
Every time. 10 out of 10.
Strong.
Somebody you real familiar with. Z-Bo.
Fucking physical. And ain't gonna jump high as a fucking napkin up like,
right,
but gonna bust your ass. If he smell blood, are you dead?
Yeah.
You done. If he smell blood, are you done?
I used to try to motherfucking murder Blake.
Every chance you got.
I just had to fight Z-Bo a couple Shout times Z-Bo, in the playoffs, man. The hard fouls just to take up for Blake. Like, man, I'm gonna put my life on the line for you. But this shit is crazy because he would try to destroy Blake, get him on the ground and hard elbow him or do some wrestling shit on the ground. Shit was hilarious, the battles they had.
And when I said I was kicking it, you said she, but it was Z-Bo and D-Miles.
Okay.
It was them.
Okay.
She was in rotation.
That's our brother. That's our brother.
Yeah, you go. Open up for us a little bit. Yeah. See, we all done now.
Yeah. It was Z-Bo and D-Miles. D-Miles is a real one too, man. Like, that's, I kicked it with them. Like, they were good to me. Like, I know it was like the whole jailblazer type, but they were good to me, man. Like, they.
Even those. Quote unquote jail, but those teams fucked with each other though.
Yeah.
It was just the outside media that put this stigma on that team.
Nah, they were good to me.
It was teams that was winning that wished they had the camaraderie,
the chemistry
that Portland had. Yeah.
I can see that.
09, 10, 11, first round exits, Houston, Phoenix, and Dallas. We had Dirk on the show, and Dirk said that the year they won the championship, their hardest series was against you. His hardest series was against you. What you think? What was the struggle? Not having the right pieces?
A little bit of coaching.
Yeah.
Who was the coach at the time? Nate?
I wouldn't say coaching, because I'm not here to, like...
Bash, yeah.
Yeah, my whole thing, and it ain't about being scared. It's like, I'm just trying to...
Just look over there. Just look over there.
No.
Just look at him. That's how he feel. That's how he feel.
Yeah, my whole thing is, like, I'm trying to spread positive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I get you.
But a little bit of coaching, like, we didn't make adjustments, bro. Like... Mm-hmm. They would do something and bust our ass, and we would keep guarding the same way. Well, you know, like, what's the definition, you know, of insanity? Like,
right.
Doing the same shit over and over. So, but we never adjusted. I feel like, and like maybe those teams were, you know, like they were more, like more seasoned than us. Because the Houston team, I think they had Yao and Ron, or just Ron or Test. I think that team is the one that beat us. And I remember Ron balled out.
Is that the series where you had?
Like, no, that was the one. That was James Harden's series.
That was James Harden's series, but I knew it was against the Rockets.
Yeah, that's
the one like everybody. 50 back-to-back or something like that?
Bro, I never realized that series made me, I guess, so known. Bro. Everywhere I go, like, that Houston series, I'm like, damn, but I played so many other games. That's the one game?
But, bro, those back-to-back games?
Yeah.
Was special, dog. Yeah, that was special, dog.
But that's the one that put me on the map. But, no, that was the Ron Artest team, and, like, him and B-Roy battled a little bit. And then The Phoenix teams, man, it was just Steve. Steve Nash just fucking tore. Like, he just broke us apart, bro. He would just pick us apart in the pick and roll, and we didn't guard the pick and roll right. And he just killed us, honestly.
First All-Star team, 2012. Best memory of that game, that West squad, was Kobe, KD, Russ, Dirk, Steve Nash, to name a few. What was your fondest memory about your first experience?
Just being in the brotherhood finally, just fucking being stamped. You know what I'm saying? Being stamped and like finally being there. And then, but the biggest part for me was like the players who were there were like, man, you should have been here. You know what I'm saying? Like when the motherfuckers are
there. That's the respect from your peers.
Yeah.
Means more than anything.
So like when, for them to tell me like, man, you should have been here. Like that was even, you know, it's like that was cool too. But I think just finally being in the club of, you know, like, damn, I made it. Yeah, I've been knocking on the door for like 2 years or whatever, and I'm finally here. And to have all those guys kind of like say, I should have been there, like that was dope.
That's dope.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The following year, Dame, mid-major point guard, not really
Dollar.
A ton of hype at the beginning. You know, expectations were kind of unknown. When did you realize that Dame has some game?
Shit, right away. That motherfucker came in and he was him. But like, I didn't ever, and I think he says on an interview, and y'all could check it, fact check, whatever y'all want to do, but he said, he's like, I never try to like stifle him though. You know how you got older vets and a big, like, don't do that. Like, be you, bro, because we ain't gonna be good until you figure this shit out. So I never told him like not to take a, you know, long ass three, like before he was making them shits like he do now, you know what I'm saying? So I never tried to stifle the process of him like finding himself. But he was good right away, man. Like in that series, like you said, when I was killing, I think he had back-to-back 30 and then he ended up making that crazy shot to win it. So for me, it was like, I knew right away he was good. And I felt like I just wanted him to try to figure it out as soon as possible so we can start trying to win again. But no, he came in confident, as everybody know. Like, he's never lacked confidence, and he always believed in his ability. So it was like him just figuring it out. And he had a game against Kobe, too, where he played well, too. And I feel like Kobe kind of stamped him a little bit early, too. So I feel like day one, like he came in like ready to go.
How long do you feel like it took you guys to kind of get on the same page or find your chemistry or your rhythm together?
I think it took effort on both sides because I played with Dre, and Dre is like, the ball gonna be in your hands, like fast. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Like go to the rim, that shit's like above the rim. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you just gotta tap that motherfucker in. Yeah. So I went from that to like Dane was learning how to like play with a dynamic big, a dominant big. So like the passes were like more bounce passes, and Dre was more of a chest passer, or he would bounce that motherfucker high, or to come, you know, like hard, or to come up high to you. Like that shit matter on your shot if you can just get that shit in rhythm. You know what I'm saying? So exactly. So long story short, I went home that summer and like I worked with Coach Caleb who was with us, and I was like, I want to do bounce passes all summer because that's what Dane gonna throw. So let me get used to this shit so he can do his normal pass, and I can catch that shit and I can, you know, I can cash out. So I spent the whole summer just working on bounce passes for him. And I feel like he started to try to work on his shit too, you know what I'm saying? Like how to read my, you know, post-ups. And so I think both sides just kind of put the effort in. I think that next season after that, we just kind of took off.
Free agency hit in 2015 season, and the Spurs were calling. What do you remember about getting that with Tim and Pop?
Was Ime instrumental in that?
Yeah.
Because he was one of your, not wanting to say vets, but he was older than you on the Portland team initially, so you guys developed a friendship there?
Yeah, like right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's solid.
Yeah, that's my dog. He texted me yesterday because he saw me courtside. man, that whole process was tough because everybody thought I went into it going straight to the Spurs. And I was like, the real true story that I don't know I've ever said on camera is like, I was in LA. I had a condo I was in. I was going to buy that motherfucker after I signed. Like, told my agent, I said, the Lakers, this is theirs to lose. So I went into that shit like this is their.
So 15, who was on that team? That was Kobe and the young, they were, yeah, the young Kobe, kids,
a
right?
bunch of young, yeah, okay. like young kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then I had my first meeting with Lakers. Didn't go well. Like I don't like no knock against them, but they didn't do research.
Who was still? Was it Jim Buss still at the controls of the team at that time?
I met Jeannie.
Oh, Jeannie. Okay.
Yeah. I met with her. Now she was great. Mm-hmm. It wasn't her. It was the
son.
The miscalculation of me as a person.
Mm. Like, it was his son, because his son was missing everything.
It was like, nah, it was just like, they were like, I walk into the meet and they were like, you're trending on Twitter. And like, if y'all don't know me that well, but I don't give a fuck about trending on Twitter. So as you like, I'm getting to the point of your question, is like, I go from that meeting of like, they miscalculated me as a person to the Spurs know who I am. So it's like a family, like just like this. We kicking it, we eating, we talking. Tim, Manu, you know what I'm saying? Manu, Pop, and we just kicking it like this. And I'm like, well, this is who I am. So the vibe of understanding who I was as a person was just, they get it, you know what I'm saying?
So initially your heart was in LA and then you found comfort in San Antonio, yeah, like, realness.
Yeah, for sure. And then Phoenix did well because Earl was with me in Portland, so he knew me too. Mm-hmm. So they came with the same shit of like, he about family and like getting, you know what I'm saying? So like they shit was kind of good too. Mm-hmm. So it ended up coming down to Phoenix and San Antonio.
It's funny you say that because this same type of setting was the same way Tim and Pop got me,
bro,
when they told me that I would start, you know what I'm saying, I was about to start playing. And just out the blue, after practice on the road, call you in the room, they both sitting like this, like you in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's
go
what you
see,
think
we first
you know, I'm doing all the wrong shit that time. I just feel guilty. Yeah. Even they don't know I'm guilty. Yeah, but that's how they do it though, man. Yeah. They come together and make decisions.
It's family, bro. So it's like, I went from an organization that was trying to figure out how to have that and hadn't figured it out. I went to an organization that figured that shit out to a T, and they gave it to me. Mm-hmm. They were like, we understand you have kids and you have family. Like, Portland never offered my kids to come on the plane. He was like, whenever your kids want to get on the plane, just bring them on the plane, man. Like, so he understood me and what they did, and like, that's what I wanted. So my kids were on the plane, going on road trips and stuff.
It means a lot. The little shit like that means so much, bro.
Yeah, because when you go all the time, you can take your kids on the plane. Like, that shit helps. Because they can experience it, and they going back to school. Like, I was on the Spurs play. Yeah.
Tim Duncan, and then don't even say shit about you.
Nah, I don't even matter no more.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, Pop might be one of the first coaches that started that too, because they was doing that back in 03.
Remember, that's how they got, because that's how Doc fucked up the shit in Orlando with Tim going to Orlando.
Exactly.
He told me he told fly him. On the plane.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did hear that.
I made that exception. It was a great exception.
Yeah.
Your first year there, y'all won 61 games.
67.
I mean, 67, excuse me. 67 games. Number one defense, number four offense. Of course, in that system, having you and Tim Duncan with Manu and Kawhi, you know, of course, y'all going to win 60, 70 games. But how was it like playing along Tim and having that core and being in that championship environment with that team?
Shit was easy, bro. Hey, shit easy with that shit. It felt easy. You know, we grinded. You get
all
it.
All you got to do is your job. It's,
bro. And then you look up, you up 30. Like, what the fuck? Like, so then that's what hurt us in the end. I won't jump forward too far. But, nah, it was easy, bro. Like, it was like you do your job, you play your role, and you up 30. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, I ain't playing fourth quarter. It's like 30, like 15 games in a row. You know what I'm saying? I ain't playing fourth quarter. And like, we ain't practicing because shit, you winning fucking 15 in a row, lose one. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we ain't really practicing like that. So that's how I had to learn my own balance, which I'm sure you had too, of like going back on your own and like getting your shit on your own.
Yes.
Like keeping yourself sharp.
Because the last thing he want is somebody getting hurt in practice. He hate that. Bro. If somebody go down with a fake injury, we done. Stop practicing.
You done. Everybody out of here. Bro, God damn, Bob. Like, so you got to find your own balance of how to keep your shit sharp. Because, like, that was my one downfall my first year. I'm like, well, shit, I'm going home. And you go home too many times, like, your shit get weak.
Mm-hmm.
So I start going back on my own, like, shooting on my own. But, nah, bro, I was like, for sure, like, we going to win this shit. But then we ran into KD and OKC.
Round two.
And like I balled out the first game, and then they came and we had them down like by 30. The second game, I think they came back and won. But the issue was, we were older. I wasn't that old, but we were like mostly older, and we never got pushed. Like we never got ourselves in like playoff shape. So it was like we never got tested. You know what I'm saying?
Dominated our regular season.
So it was like we weren't playing the fourth quarter. So when you get into your first real match, it was like, damn, like we ain't really in shape for this shit. And it was no knock against Pop or anybody. It was just like, you got to find that balance of how do I push my guys, but I don't want nobody getting hurt either.
Right.
And we're like really fucking good. So it's like, how do you do this shit? So in my opinion, like we ran into OKC, young Bulls, ready to go, energetic, and we kind of fizzled out. And then like they had more energy and they got
job
us.
3-1.
Yeah.
We was up 2-0 and they came back and beat us both straight. And 14 with San Antonio. They just was different, dog.
Yeah, Bulls, bro. So
it was different.
It was. We had them, though. Like, the first game, we smacked the shit. It was so easy. But I feel like we had David West, and he hadn't played a lot that season. But then I feel like he got tired. I feel like Tim got tired. I even got a little tired because we had never been pushed enough to be in, like, playoff shape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Year two in San Antonio. Tim retires. You guys get Powell. 60 wins. Western Conference against Golden State. Kevin and Steph, Kawhi goes down. What's kind of the thought going into that series with you guys?
It's our time. Like, we had played them well all season. We went there game one of the season. It was TNT, and we won.
Mm-hmm.
And we left that bitch like, if this is the best team, we good. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't even got chemistry. Like, if this is the best team, we good. Like, let's just keep building, keep getting chemistry, but we all right. So we get to that point, and we were like, hey, we back here. We good. So then we get into the game. We up 20-something. We rolling, like, the same shit. And we had Jonathan Simmons, H-Town.
Boy.
So then he was killing for us, too. Mm-hmm. So we had him balling, got Kawhi balling. I'm doing good. So it was just like shit was clicking. Kawhi goes down, and, you know, like, shit, Golden State defense is A-fucking-1. They double me in every which way. I can't get a good shot. You know, like, then Jay Sims is getting more attention. And it's just – shit went from, like, sugar to shit real quick because Kawhi and I were playing so good off of each other. He was balling, I was balling, and then without him, they was just on our ass a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Kawhi ends up having a falling out. Tony Parker
you
makes
know
some
what you calling
tried Parker, to tell him. Tried to warn him.
Tony Parker makes some comments. Someone who was in there, what do you feel like you could share or kind of shed some light on? That, what happened?
When somebody ready to go, they ready to go. That's all I got to say about that. When somebody ready to go, they ready to go. Even when you're there, certain shit is never told to everybody. Like, some shit stays behind closed doors. So no one knows all the shit but them. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit was going back and forth with, like, with them, but we don't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm. And coming from our dynamic, you got to be a strong-willed and a strong-minded brother to make it on the San Antonio Spurs organization.
Yeah.
Because Pop is going to test you, and he's trying to make you a better person, but he's going to put you in a lot of situations to test you. You know what I'm saying? He did it to me. He did it to Kawhi. He did it to a couple other people, but mental Kawhi couldn't take that shit. Okay? That's just what it was. We couldn't take that shit, dog. We want a hoop. We don't want to be in the corner all, you know what I'm saying? We want an ISO. We don't want to run pick and roll. You know what I'm saying? That was Kawhi's attitude. He really wanted the hoop, bro.
No, he did.
And when the injury stuff came down, how they didn't fight for him in public. Like Tony had an injury.
That was the
and
end.
Tony was out a long time.
That was the end.
Kawhi never said nothing. There was question about why Kawhi was out, and Tony was like, well, I had the same injury, and I came back questioning if he really hurt on national TV. That pushed him right out the door. For those that didn't know.
If you can see his face while you're talking, chill, it's just bro. Like.
That's a good-ass painting over there, bro. Shit. I didn't see that shit at first. That's dope.
Yes, sir.
That's a good-ass painting
hey,
over
man,
there, bro.
Hey, man. I'm a part of the organization, so you know what I'm saying? I hear shit, too.
Man,
you know what I mean?
It is what it is, man. Yeah. I ain't gonna speak for nobody, but bro, I think he didn't want to like do all like the other shit that popped it too, like the learning shit. Mm-hmm. He's want to hoop.
He just wanted to hoop.
Everybody don't want to learn about Western Africa.
None of that.
Learn the maps and he just wanted to hoop. Which I ain't saying right or wrong. Just didn't want to do that.
Yeah, he just wanted to hoop, and that's really what they was paying him to do.
Hoop.
To hoop. Fast forward 2021, you go to the Nets, Brooklyn. What was it like playing with KD, Kyrie, and James?
Shit, layup. Shit was easy. Getting layup after layup.
Court was spaced.
Yeah. It what's weird for me is same fucking team 1 year later and didn't play close to the same. It was weird, bro. Like, first year we had a lot more movement. We had a lot more actions, pin downs, and I'm getting layups. And it's like the second year, like, it was more stagnant, more ISOs and stuff like that. I feel like that's what hurt a little bit. But when you got three motherfuckers that can get a shot, I mean, 3.5, because I still could get a shot, too. So it's like you kind of get to more ISO. But the first year, it was way more movement. Yeah, more continuity, back cuts. But it was easy, man. Like, good times, man. Everybody was, like, about winning. I feel like when they got me, they were like, we all want to go win one. We all, you know, like on the same page, we all want to go prove something. You know, everybody had to prove something in their own way. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like everybody wanted to go prove it. And shit just didn't work out. Mm.
20,000 career points, 7-time All-Star, played with a handful of legends. Are you at peace with how your career turned out?
Nah, I wanted a ring, bro, because I feel like when I get to the 5-year mark and motherfuckers start bringing me out, I'm like, well, you got 20,000, but he ain't got a ring, which I feel like is fucked up.
You're still a Hall of Famer, though.
I feel like I am, but
you
I'm
are.
Biased, you know
you
what
are.
I'm saying? Yep. I appreciate that.
We're all biased. We're all biased for you. But you put the work in for sure.
You motherfucker with eyes.
But yeah. So, but I think people going. A lot of people don't understand my body of work. Not trying to be arrogant. I feel like because I was in Portland so long, like, people don't really know those Portland days like that. Like when I was really putting it in. So it's like, I think people know like the San Antonio days because they San Antonio. They're gonna be on TNT. You know, 9 times out of 10, and it's Pop and. So I just feel like the body of work in Portland is a little overlooked, and that's when I became me because I was on the West Coast. And, you know what I'm saying? But I hope I get in, but if I don't, like I don't want to steal anything from, I think Westbrook said it or whatever, like somebody said it, but I'm already, you know, where I'm from and what I did and, you know, where I am now, I'm already good,
time.
Bro.
I'm in the
Hall of Fame. Back at home, I'm a Hall of Famer.
I'm
going to get
a Hall of Fame
day.
Like a motherfucker. Yeah. I'm cool
and again, it's with your peers. It's not the motherfucking writers and all these other people that have the say. It's the people that went to war against you and with you.
Yeah.
And what they say about you.
I appreciate
you.
That.
Over $200 million in career earnings. Ooh. Sheesh! The bag up on there.
That's bad. That's bad.
To any NBA player signing big deals, what's your biggest piece of financial advice for them? And two questions. And do you have any purchases you regret?
Biggest financial. I move a little different because I came from a different background. So for me, it was like.
We appreciate more.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, I don't trust nobody. So
you know, like, I don't know if y'all ever seen, like, that little picture with the little Asian guy with the tiny piece of paper saying, like, this is who he trusts, like, the list of people he trusts. And that motherfucker's small as a, that's me, bro. So, I got.
He had to look at it with magnifying.
Yeah, that one. That's the one I'm talking about. But, so I got two groups that take care of my money, and I wanted it because I wanted to make sure
compare
that they could
each
watch
other, stay on each other's
and
back.
They can watch each other a little bit, and you know what I'm saying, because you know, like, you can't steal from me if he wants the other half of my money and he watching it, and vice versa. So
he
I'm
gonna tell on him because he want it all,
exactly. So if you fuck up a little bit, oh, he gonna let me know, you know what I'm saying. So for me, that's how I wanted to
that's
move
smart.
But I would say, man, you don't like, I know that the NBA, PA, all that want to say, like, save it. Like, you got to stay, but you got to live, too, because if you wait too long to live, you're going to be retired with no money coming in trying to go live. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like you got to have a balance of have a goal of what you want to save, but also live a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because I live, and I'm still well off. I'm good. Yes. But if I wouldn't live, and I'm trying to do it now because I'm trying to, like, search for that happiness – I'd be burning through my money.
Trying to fill that gap of retirement. Exactly. And what am I going to do now?
And then you burning money when you ain't got that money coming in like that. So I would say, man, save as much as you can, but also live a little bit. Like, bro, you killing yourself on the court. You grinding every day. Your life is basketball. So
enjoy it.
Get some shit to make you happy.
Go by fast, too.
Ain't nobody never told me that I'm five. I knew that off the rip.
Live,
hell no.
They ain't
got
to tell you.
Yeah, I was thinking about living post saving.
I wouldn't go that far. That's why I said have
shit,
a balance.
I'm going to live first. I think about saving after I live.
He's you got to save.
He still might be in the living phase.
Yeah, I'm still living. Hell yeah, man. You can't look at me. Look at me. I'm living.
You got to save. So then when you're done, like, I would also put this in there. You got to save. So if your shit end like my shit end, I thought I was going to play till 40. If you just wake up and you got a hard shit, or, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I was good no matter what. So you got to save because you don't know how long this shit going to last.
Right.
And, you know how they say that shit at NBA, PA, whatever, the average is 3.5. Motherfuckers go in for 2 years and leave.
And you never see them again.
Everybody don't play 16, 17
Cupping the motherfuckers in your draft.
Yeah. Facts, though. But
that's why I said that shit was terrible.
But
I saw that.
So you got to think about, we all want to be like, I'm playing till 40, I'm going to get 200 mil, and but you, it's not guaranteed, bro. Right. So you got to say some shit.
But just imagine how Bron going to have these motherfuckers thinking, well, I can play till I'm 45.
It's only one of them motherfuckers.
Don't believe that, young guys.
Don't follow that shit.
That is not your path.
No.
All right, man, we appreciate it. We got quick hitters, first thing to come to mind, but I think before I say that, I wanted to just say, man, we appreciate you coming and opening up. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
bro.
You're one of them star players that we got a chance to play against, but you just who you are as a person, you're not talking about yourself. You're not posting all the shit you're doing. So it was always kind of like, damn, he had a hella game, but what happened to him? So it's good to know that you're doing well, man. You're healthy.
I appreciate that.
You saved your money.
Yeah, for sure.
But I known you would smoke weed at junior high, would have tried to get on the team or something.
Man, for real. I would have transferred too.
You would have transferred too.
But quick hitters, man. So first thing come to your mind, let us know. Best piece of advice you ever received.
Quick hitters, huh? I'm over here taking my time.
Yeah.
Never get outworked. I work. If you outwork every motherfucker in the room, then you should be all right. That's what somebody told me.
You plus four on the blacktop.
So you might need to fight. Ain't no refs.
Yep.
Who you take? Might
be somebody good with a tool.
Stack five. Yeah. I'm saying, look at
it. Some shit up.
Man, that's tough. Me plus four.
You played. You was on a black top team,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was. I'm going to take y'all two, I'm going to take Zeebo, that's four, and I'm going to take Andre Miller.
Ooh, yeah.
They don't really know, though. Niggas
Drake,
don't really. Oh, we know.
If you know, you know.
We know.
So you said you had a Dre
Everybody
Miller story.
Know
that's
Dre.
Our homie. So tell us your Dre Miller story.
Oh, yeah. So first year with him, and I had never played with an elite, because I hadn't played with Dame yet, and B-Row was a two. So my first elite, I want to clear that up. First elite PG for is like, you know what I'm saying, being smart. Long story short, that's when I was like starting to kill. So team was like double teaming, like they were fronting me. I couldn't get the ball. And, you know, he talks all high.
Yeah.
And then we were cool,
come
but
on, Dre. Come on, Dre.
I was cool with him, but he would always call me a LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm like, bro, stop calling me that. So we in the game, he said my whole long ass name. I'm like, bro, stop. But he was like, LaMarcus Aldridge, come here. LaMarcus Aldridge. And I'm like, bro, first of all, like, stop calling me that. But you know what I'm saying? He was like, hey, when you're on the block, just go to the rim. I'm like, Drake, I can't see you. Don't worry about it. Just go to the rim. I'm like, man, he tripping. I can't even see this nigga. I was like, all right, bet. We on the block. I'm getting fronted. I spin and go to the rim. That motherfucker right there, is right there. I was like, oh my God. Dunked that bitch. I was like, okay, we good now. And that's the year we led the whole league in lobs, bro. Oh, really? Like, that was that year. Damn. Bro, you front me? Like, I just turned. That motherfucker's in my hand. Like, it was crazy how easy it was.
Yeah, no, he's a great lob thrower.
Best pass.
Just spin to the rim. I was like, all right, bro, I can't see you, so I can't see the ball. Don't worry about it. Bro, that shit was right
very
there.
Funny, man. He funny, bro.
Did he ever call you by your nickname, or was he always LaMarcus Aldridge?
One time out in the club, I think he called me L.A., but he had, you know what I'm saying? He had already had a couple.
About yeah, it, yeah, but, loose.
Bro, no. He won't mind this story, bro. So we in L.A., bro. We in Live having a good-ass time. This back, I think we had been winning and winning and winning. So we got a table, and it's the whole crew, and like, we asked him to go out, but I don't think he said he wanted to. But long story short, bro, and y'all know this nigga, so y'all gonna get it. We in the club, we having a good time, we kicking it. We on the floor at Live, you know, it's the vibe down there. We look to the left, in the corner is a nigga by himself just chilling. It was Dre. Like, Dre, what Dre. The fuck you doing in the spot by yourself? Oh, y'all good, bro, y'all good. Bro, in the spot by himself, like right behind us in the corner, it's dark as a motherfucker in the corner. It's Dre just kicking it by himself, bro. I said, Dre, like, what's up? Oh, y'all good, bro? Like, do y'all thing. Oh,
that's funny.
But y'all know him, like, he don't give a fuck, nah, bro.
Him and Baron Davis have that same type of little tendency like that.
Bro, that's funny.
We land in Dallas. He right to the skating ring. Y'all want to go skating with me? Like, bro, like, how random is it? Like, where I grew up, he in the hood where I grew up. Niggas, he was like, yo, Dre here. I'm like, in the hood? Yeah, bro, he's skating.
Dolo.
Yeah, he's skating. By himself, skating, dancing. Like, bro, this is crazy. I'm like, yo, he a real one. He in the hood where I grew up, and he's skating by himself, pulled up by himself.
That's funny.
And got his own skates with him and shit, too.
Got his own skates.
I was like, he a real one.
Oh, that's good. Childhood crush.
That's tough, bro. As I've gotten older, I realize people say she ain't a real one, but Stacey Dash in the commercial. I mean, in the early videos,
on.
Bro.
Early on, Stacey Dash.
When you were young, bro, you like,
she was bad. Even on Clueless, she was bad.
Bro, you like, bro, she's solid. She thick a little bit. Bro, she was solid. So
yeah, somewhere along the line, she crashed, but yeah, she was tough.
So not the one now, but yeah, early
back
on,
in the day.
On.
Maybe you could have changed her.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I would have tried. Should have given me an opportunity. I would have tried.
Word. Something you wish you was better at?
Just in life, it don't even have to be sports.
More music talents. I used to play the piano back in the day. I didn't use it, so I kind of lost it, but I wish I was one of them niggas that can just pull out a fucking guitar and shit and just, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna do that shit. Hey. Nah, I didn't say fucking singing. I just said being able to just, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
I like music a lot, though.
You
wanna
be one of my fingers? If I had a fast car.
I'm like, and I got a fast car. That's what I mean.
Got a couple fast cars.
Exactly. That's me right there. But nah, oh, just like more music type shit.
That's good. Guilty pleasure.
Cars.
Got a car collection?
Low key? Not as much now. Low key. Uh-huh. Yeah, not as much now. 76 Chevy Chevelle. 99 Impala. Ram T-Rex truck. Rolls Royce Cullinan, Maybach two-tone, Defender, Range Rover Defender, and then I got a Aston Martin, the new Bronco, and I'm missing one more, Escalade.
The new Bronco.
But I have a few houses too, so these ain't just all parked in outside my shit.
The
like
new
I'm,
Bronco's dope though.
It is, like it is. Nah, yeah.
So, new OJs?
Yeah.
I got the one that's the Raptor edition, so it's a little bit faster too.
Mm-hmm. You like fast cars.
I do.
Best shooting American big man of all time.
Ooh.
Shit, LaMarcus Aldridge. I just play. I'm fucking with you. Nah.
This is the show to break your arm and pat yourself on the back.
Gotta go with Dirk, man. That motherfucker.
American.
Oh, you're right.
American. See what I'm saying?
We trying to give you a chance to talk your shit.
Y'all throwing me alive. Yeah, I don't want it. Y'all Dre right now. Y'all tell me just go to the rim, and I don't want to go to the rim, bro.
I'm telling you.
Y'all tell me to go to the rim.
No, work smarter, not harder.
Y'all tell me to go to the rim. I don't want to go to the rim.
Work smarter, not harder.
I'm telling you to turn and face.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. So I mean, me, bro. Like, I feel like I did that shit at a high level for a long time. Not trying to toot my horn, but I feel like night in, night out. Like
consistent.
The shot that everyone said was a bad shot for everybody else, it wasn't bad for me. So. Mm. Me.
There you go.
If you could see one guest on our show, who would it be?
But.
But you have to help us get your answer on the show.
I'll be watching. I'm trying to make sure I don't say something that's been on here. Y'all had Rob Ori.
Yeah, we had Big Shot.
Because I feel like I wanted to start a show and just I wanted to tell his story, but y'all already kind of got to it because that motherfucker was a winner, bro. But it don't get talked about enough. Yeah,
but people don't respect that.
Why not, though?
Because he wasn't the stars of the team. But the shots he made bigger than any big superstar. That's what I'm saying. So
Shaq tipped it out because he didn't want to get fouled. He even said that shit publicly, and then he knocked that bit. Like, bro, he's made some big-ass shots for
some of the best shooters in NBA history, that, especially behind the three-point line. Can't make shots in the last 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah,
it's proven in history.
He came off the bench ice cold and would knock that motherfucker down. So, y'all had C-Bosh?
Yep.
Early.
How was that one?
Good.
Yeah. It was during the pandemic, though, wasn't it?
Yep.
I fuck with Bosh. We competed when we were younger. And we played on the same AAU team, too, for a little bit.
Brandon Roy.
This painting was saying Brandon Roy over here. That motherfucker could talk, too? Damn.
You know what? We haven't had him.
Oh, you haven't had Brandon Roy?
No.
Damn.
Why we didn't think of that?
Damn. We have.
No, shut up.
Okay.
We didn't.
You stupid, bro. Y'all had Gio? Greg?
Who?
Greg Oden.
Ooh, no, that'd be
I want to hear his story, bro.
I started following him maybe like a year ago, and just kind of because I didn't know where he was either. I started following him and kind of see he went back to school. And
yeah,
he was getting his degree,
was coaching
and I was commenting
shit
on his stuff and liking his stuff, and I sent him a DM and he just read it. It was, left me on scene. So I didn't have no relationship with him or anything.
Yeah.
So put that good word in. We'll press the line.
Yeah, he ain't no bad dude either, though.
No, like, not at all.
He's solid. I
think
know
he has a hell. I mean, he has a hell of a story to tell.
I want to hear his story because I feel like, bro, he gets so dissed or like dismissed. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he needs to tell his side of the story. Like bro,
Bus can't even be put next to his name in the same sentence because when he was healthy, he was real
dumb with it.
Fucking problem.
But how good would you be with one leg longer than the other? Like, could you even dominate at all if your shit that, you know what I'm saying?
I had two good legs that couldn't do shit he could do. So let's just put it that way.
So nah, I think he deserves to tell his story on a safe space. You know what I'm saying?
And this is, we'll be honored.
Yeah, take care of him.
And let him control his own there.
Yeah, I think.
Cool. All right, man. Well, that's a wrap. LA, again, we appreciate you spending some time and giving the world a chance to get to know who you were. Because, again, you were one of the great players that don't talk much. But to come to find out you cool, you're cool as shit.
No,
so
appreciate
your time. We'll catch you.
Tune in.
You know where to find us. We'll see y'all later.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.